One if by land, two if by sea. Minuteman Radio continues with your host, the president of the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps, Chris Simcox.
Folks, welcome back. Stacy and I, we're hosting the show tonight because Chris Simcox, our president of Minuteman Civil Defense Corps, is on the road again. And he's
Isn't he always, though?
I know it. He's working very, very hard for us. He's working very, very hard for our nation. He is the honorary chairperson of the Minuteman PAC and the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps PAC, traveling around the country endorsing candidates and also helping the candidates that we already did endorse and giving them extra help that they still need, because by golly, in a couple of days, elections start. The month of November is so important. And of course, you know, I'm in the service business and I get to talk to many, many people in my restaurant. And always when I see young people, I always ask them, are you going to vote? Have you ever voted? And if they say no, I say, well, let me tell you, you need to vote, because that is not only your right, that's a privilege. You yes. have to vote. And of course, I'm a very, very proud citizen of the United States of America and have been since 1999. And because I wanted to vote and because I knew that that was the only way I could make a difference. And
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Ja, sehr viel. But English is my first language now. And like I said, I'm very, very proud. And voting is the most important thing you can do here during the months of November. And I know Chris was on the Neil Cavuto show and it brought him an immense amount of replies, and candidates called in that realized how important it would just be for the Minuteman Political Action Committee or the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps Political Action Committee to endorse some of these candidates, because the word's been going around. We're just very, very important and we're making a difference. So
I got a couple of questions.
Okay.
Going back to the fence. Okay. We've got a bunch of materials showing up tomorrow, and we have a need for security. There's a lot of, I'm assuming here, and you can fill me in, that there's going to be a lot of material out there.
Yes.
Staged on the ground, or yes. pallets, what have yes. you, that has the real possibility of A, being stolen,
sure.
B, being vandalized, as part of the fence project has in the yes. past couple of months. You know, what's Gene's expectations of the Minutemen down there? Do you have to be armed? What kind of gear should these Minutemen be bringing?
Well, we certainly always encourage people to carry a weapon, because, first of all, we are down there. We're in the desert also. I mean, we're in Arizona, and we certainly have natural elements that we have to deal with.
Sure.
As in rattlesnakes. And mm-hmm. we just talked to one of the Border Patrol agents a couple of weeks ago up on the King's Ranch, and he said that he was in one of the washes, and within 10 minutes, he had spotted four snakes. So they're still out, yes. and it's going to take them a little while to hibernate. So even in the months of November, they're out.
Right.
And we certainly, with November being the months of the drugs being pushed into the United States, the danger is definitely up, I would say. Our Minutemen always have to be secured and always have to be safe. That is priority. And I certainly always encourage registered Minutemen to come to Arizona, since it is an open carry state, that they are welcome to carry a weapon for their protection. And
good.
As always, the laws always apply, and we certainly are very law-abiding citizens, and that's why we're still in business after such a long time. And
that's correct.
Yes.
You know, we have such a strong SOP, and of course, anybody that carries a sidearm
yes.
As a Minuteman knows that you do not remove that weapon, not for show and tell, not for cleaning,
that's
not
right.
for any purpose other than to defend your life or the life of another person, of course.
Yes.
And that's at your own discretion. And the only responsibility you have is to yourself and to the law, because
yes.
Surely that will be the law's issue when you pull that weapon. So,
absolutely.
So I think you're absolutely right. They're just meters away from the border there.
Yes.
And I say meters is because it's
yes.
the Mexican border.
Yes. And they use the metric system,
that's right.
and that's my system, and it's really
sure.
easy to understand for me. So
I mean, you could literally cross the existing fence and be in Mexico. So
yes.
The danger, I think, is very real down there. And just as you mentioned with the drugs, the drug season coming upon us, they are willing to protect those loads with everything they've got. What about some of the other gear they should be bringing? Of course, NVGs.
NVGs, same thing, binoculars and their lawn chair, because
right.
they may get to sit, you know, during the day, especially when the contractors are working. At night, it's probably going to be a different story. If they have enough people, yes, they can sit on a post, and if not, then they will be walking around.
Okay.
So it is slightly different.
And porta potties?
Absolutely. We always have
porta potties. When do we have an operation without a porta potty? You know?
I know. I think we've always had porta potties.
Right. Now, talk to us about the road coming out. Do you have to have four-wheel drive? Is it a graded road?
No, it's a graded road, and it's really easy to get to. You can even drive in a regular passenger vehicle.
Sedan,
it doesn't,
right.
Yes, a sedan. Sure. It doesn't have to be a truck. The road is graded quite nicely, and bring enough water, bring enough warm clothes. The nights are ice cold, and you probably have found that out if you were at the operation during the months of October, and November is even colder, so definitely warm gear, bring blankets, whatever it takes. And even if you spend the night in the truck, you're still going to need blankets. So.
Sure. And are they allowed to camp there on site? Can they set up a tent? Or is the ranch owner preferring that they go back into town at a hotel?
Actually, he will let some of them camp right at the site. But then also, John Waters from the Palominas Trading Post is offering his property again.
A great property.
Yes, and he's such a great supporter of not only the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps border security project, but also of the fence project. And folks, we have two callers online here right now. The first one is going to be Happy. Happy, welcome.
Welcome, MCDC.
I think I know who this is.
I believe you do.
I don't.
How are you?
I'm doing good. God bless the Minutemen. Chris, you are a hero to the nation.
Well, unfortunately, Chris is traveling tonight, and so I'm Stacey O'Connell.
Yes.
I was the state director for Arizona, no longer effective as this morning, and Carmen Mercer,
and I'm Carmen.
Our CFO. But we'll send the wishes on to Chris.
I'm sorry I got on late.
That's quite all right.
We're happy to have you.
I'm just going to give my sheriff's campaign update. I'm very familiar with the snakes in the washes because we have them in the press.
Oh, you, that's funny.
They are very plentiful, and the means which we deal with them are much different than what you deal with in snakes on the border.
Yes.
But nonetheless, they are just as dangerous, and in the long run, far more dangerous.
That is true. And, you know, we will have to deal with them, you know, in both areas, absolutely, with the real ones and with the ones that are according to you, just as dangerous or even more dangerous. Yes.
Happy, where are you calling from?
Wisconsin.
Wow.
Wow, that's great. So you got on the internet and you started listening in. That is wonderful. We're happy to have you.
I've been involved for quite some time.
Okay.
The organization is quite an inspiration. The people involved are quite an inspiration.
Yes,
everybody I've met through this organization has been absolutely phenomenal. You were talking about real Americans, real patriots.
Yes.
We're all striving for the same goal, and that's to protect and preserve our nation.
Yes.
Whichever way we go about it is a mission. It's an absolute mission, whether it's writing letters or running for office. We need as many people that are up on the issues, many people who care about America, to do whatever the little thing is that they can do, even if it's just talk to a neighbor.
It is a long battle, you know, and we win a few of the battles along the way. But in order to win the war, we've got to endure those battles. And you're right, it's going to be a very, very enduring mission.
And treacherous,
right, to secure our borders and to change internal policy, internal laws regarding illegal immigration.
Just getting everybody to understand it on the same page. Sorry I missed the name, Stacy, but it's been busy in this campaign season, and I got on late.
That's all right.
And I actually thought we've got another Minuteman down here in Arizona named Happy, and I thought it was him when he called in, but we're glad to have you as well.
We'll take you Happy also.
God bless the Minutemen.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling.
And I was just talking, Stacy, I was just sitting down a little bit with Quetzal this afternoon, who is together with Sandy. We're our admin people for the months of October. Great, great guy. He's pulled me out several times, helped me with the computer, and he's just awesome. And we were just sitting down after everybody had left, and I said, you know what? The great part about this is those are the great people of America, the people that we meet. And actually, this country is made up of mostly those people.
Yes.
It's not what the media always portrays.
Sure.
We meet the real people, and we know that so many of them are just like that.
And that's what I always say, Carmen. There's so many Minutemen out there that are sitting on their couch tonight watching television or Thursday night watching Survivor, but they just don't know they're Minutemen yet. They believe just like you and I do.
That's
and
right.
They're passionate just like you and I do.
Yes.
They just don't know their Minutemen yet.
That's right. And they're going to get to know us.
That's right.
And we have another caller online. Hello, James. Welcome to the Minuteman Radio.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Ja, ich spreche Deutsch. Sie auch?
Nein.
Nein?
I don't, thank God. I was born American.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't, but I'm still very proud to be an American.
Good for you. My great-great-grandfather came over here as a stowaway when he was 14 because he had the foresight to leave the biggest redneck country the earth has ever seen, and that would be Germany, in about 1871. And I'm thinking his grandson, my father, returned to Fortress Europe armed and dangerous because he took on the Nazi regime, and I'm shot in the middle of the chest by a Nazi. But I'm thinking that if the U.S. law had been then as it he wanted to be now, my great-great-grandfather would have been deported because he came over here with no invitation and no acceptance, but he had some good progeny, some really good people, just like I think millions and millions and millions of Mexicans are good people that crossed that imaginary line.
Sure.
And
well, James, let me interrupt you here.
Without your permission, by the way, and thank God for that.
Yeah, and you know, the 1800s, the mid-1800s were a much different time in America than they are today.
Are you thinking I haven't thought about what the mid-1800s were like in America?
Well,
sir?
Maybe let me interrupt you and let me just tell you, I was born way after the Nazi regime. And
I didn't say you were a Nazi. You don't need to tell me that. I know you're not 130 years old.
Absolutely, I'm not. I'm certainly glad. And I also want to tell you, we love the Mexican people very, very much. You know, this is not about
good
racism.
For you. Yeah, I didn't say you're a racist.
Rule of law,
no,
James.
No, don't go there. Rule of law. You want to go about law? Okay, let me clue you in about my father who returned to Fortress Europe and got shot in the middle of the chest. Think of rule of law, ma'am. I think that, like my father, who was the most devout and decent Christian Catholic you would have ever met, most pious and humble, and never, by the way, ever spoke of his being a World War II veteran or having all the same medals that John Forbes, Heinz Kerry likes to go around and tell everybody that he has. My mom didn't know my dad had a Silver Star until after they were married. And he was married in his uniform because he was still in the U.S. military when they got married, okay? So you're not talking to some ignoramus. Okay?
I'm sure you're not, James, and I never insinuated that. And it's certainly, I'm sure that, you know, your family had great honor. And
I don't want to boast about my family anymore, but I want to talk about the law. See, I think the greatest written word, whether it be truly holy or just man-made, is the line, love thy neighbor as thyself. Which Christians believe.
Actually, that is true.
In Leviticus, when it was first spoken to man in Leviticus.
Well, James, how do you relate that to the U.S. Mexican border? How do you relate that?
Okay, here's how it goes. When a stranger sojourn in your midst, you shall not vex him, for you shall treat that sojourner as one born amongst you, as in your brother or sister, mother or father. For you shall love thy neighbor as thyself, for we were all strangers in the land of Arizona.
But let me also tell you,
I am not an Arizonan by birth.
James, let me also tell you, we as Christians are also supposed to respect the law of the land, and that's all I have to say.
When the law contravenes what Christ commanded as his second greatest commandment after love thy Lord with all thy heart and soul is love thy neighbor with all heart and soul and treat them as your brother and sister and not deport them because they cross an imaginary line in the sand just like your descendant, my descendants did. And whether or not you came over here, Stacy and I, with permission or not, doesn't impress me. It only highlights the absurdity of the U.S. law. James,
let me ask you a question here.
James,
I got to cut you off here. What would you say to the Department of Homeland Security who said and announced that our unguarded borders have already been penetrated by Hezbollah? Are they our friends? Are they our good neighbors that we need to coddle and love?
I don't love criminals in the same respect I love.
Which ones are coming across that are criminals and which one are not, James?
Sir, if you want to liken all the 20 million Mexicans to Hezbollah, you can answer to God in the afterlife, because I don't. I don't call all black people the N-word.
Yes, well, right now we're answering to the American patriots and the American citizens, James.
You know what I think about the Hezbollah? We should go over there before they come over here and find them in their caves where they dwell and their madrasas where they preach.
You're too late, James. They're already here.
Oh, really?
Yes,
James,
well, let's find them while they're here. And the wall, guess what? All the terrorists of September 11th were here under U.S. law.
James, we're coming up on a break here, so I'm going to have to cut you short here.
Thanks for calling in.
Have a wonderful evening.
Yeah. Take your meds.
And... takes all kind, I
you know,
guess.
You've always got to have one in a show.
That's right. Absolutely. When we come back from the break, I want to talk a little bit about what the Mexican leader thinks about President Bush's signature on the border fence bill. President-elect Felipe Calderon has some opinions.
Who's going to be meeting with Bush November 9th.
That's right. And we're going to talk about that when we come back on News Talk 960 AM KKNT. Number is 602-508-0960, 888-960-9696.